What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Catching Heaters. I am your host, Matt, and as always, I'm excited to be here with you today. What do we have on the docket for today's episode? I'm going to be breaking down the prospects on the 60-man rosters for baseball. In this edition, I'm going to be going over the National League team. So I'm going to go over the NL East, the NL Central, and the NL West. Basically, some of the top prospects that have gotten onto the rosters. And then I'm going to kind of go over a couple guys that I think could possibly make an impact this year and get called up. And also, you know, what that means for possibly fantasy baseball if you're in deeper leagues, or what that could mean for the card market down the line. Before I completely dive in, I just wanted to say thank you to everybody that has subscribed, that's been listening to the channel. I really appreciate it. If you're enjoying it, hit the subscribe button. Please give me a rating. I would really appreciate that with some great comments and feedback. I always appreciate those things. You can check me out on the social media platforms, on Instagram, on Twitter, on TikTok. I'm at Catching Heaters on all of those platforms. I really appreciate all the support recently and the feedback that I've been getting. So let's dive into it, guys. I'm super excited for the next couple of weeks. We are so close to the baseball season resuming, and I'm sure if you watch SportsCenter, if you're, you know, watch MLB Network, they're doing a lot of live look-ins on some of the games, and it's just fun to see guys out there playing, hitting home runs, guys striking out. That Lindor home run the other day was really cool, where he kind of tumbled into home plate, and then you saw Luis Robert yesterday hit that home run and basically fall over at home plate as well. So it's just fun to see baseball back, and we're right there, guys. Really close to the season, and I think it's going to be a fantastic year with these 60 games. So let's start in the NL East. I wanted to go over these teams here. The first team we're going to start with is the Atlanta Braves, and they do have quite a few prospects. Top-level prospects in their 60-man pool. Obviously, they want to keep these guys fresh at the upper levels and keep their progress that they have going. So I'm just going to run down some of these guys. And one thing that I think is going to happen, I know that they're going to have a lot of bats, but I think what we're going to see is with these expanded rosters at the 30, I think early on you might see a lot of pitching and players being switched around with pitchers and kind of filtering them in and out to keep guys fresh. So depending on how specific teams play out or how things work for individual teams, you might see a better chance of pitching prospects getting a call up to maybe eat up some innings or come up into those higher leverage positions, especially towards the end of the year. And I think it just depends for the position players where they're at currently in their development. You know, have they had any time at AA for an extended period of time or AAA, and what the team needs are and if they want to start guys' contracts. So let's dive into the Braves. They got Christian Pasci, really highly talented guy. They got Drew Waiters from the pitching side, Ian Anderson, Kyle Wright, Tucker Davidson, Kyle Muller. I got a couple catchers in here that are on the lower levels. William Contreras, who is Wilson Contreras' brother. Then they have a couple guys lower than that down there. Shortstop prospect, Brandon Shoemake. They got Brees Wilson, Patrick Wagle, and a couple other guys. Another catcher is Alex Jackson, who's not as highly ranked anymore, but still a prospect with them. And the kind of the guys that I think that you definitely need to keep an eye on, the pitching prospects are going to have a high opportunity to possibly come up this year. I think it just depends on where they get mixed in. I don't foresee any guys really getting run out there for extended periods of time. But you look at Ian Anderson, Kyle Wright, Tucker Davidson, I think I think those guys have a really high probability, probably 75%, maybe to 100% of possibly touching the big leagues this year. And then when you look at the top tier prospects in the system right now, Christian Pasci and Drew Waiters, I'm sure if you follow prospects, you're probably familiar with these guys. You know, Pasci is a great defender. I've talked about him on previous episodes, and I think about a guy moving quickly through a system that has those elite defensive skills. His current projections are his hit tool is 65, his power is 60, his run is 70, his field is 70, his arm is 70. And I think with the Braves not having Markakis anymore, he has a real opportunity to come up and make an impact, one, defensively, because that's something that is really going to elevate him in getting everyday playing time. But I think he's been growing as a hitter as well. He kind of is a swing and miss guy a little bit, but he does have power. So interesting guy to watch. Also, Drew Waiters, his hit tool is 55, power 55. His speed is run is 60, field 60, arm 55. I think if I'm gauging between those two guys, Pasci is of course going to get the call first. They both have been at the AAA level, but the elite defensive skills for Pasci are really going to elevate him. So just keep an eye on that. Those are some guys to watch moving forward with the Braves. Let's move on to the Marlins. Man, they have a lot. They have a lot of prospects on this 60-man team, and I think it's just they're still very young. They're trying to develop these guys and make sure that they are continuing to grow. So in the future years, they really have a slew of people coming up. And I'll run down through these guys quickly. You got Cito Sanchez. You got JJ Belady, Jazz Chisholm, Jesus Sanchez, Edward Cabrera, Monte Harrison, Lewin Diaz, Braxton Garrett, Jorge Guzman, Nick Niebert, Jair Encarnacion, Trevor Rodriguez, and then they have a bunch of other guys that aren't on the – they are prospects, but they're outside of, like, their top 15. You got – of course, they just drafted Max Meagher, so they're bringing him. A couple other notable guys. I'm a fan of Jose Devers for his defensive skill set. I think that he can move quickly. You got a Robert Duggar, Tommy Evald. Those guys have a chance to maybe get some innings in the major leagues this year. But I don't want to go into each person too far, but I think some of the main guys that have some opportunity here. Cito Sanchez, I don't think there's a 100% chance that he gets to the majors, but if they are making a good run and they get out hot, I think that you could see him come up. He's a guy that has a nasty, you know, double plus fastball in the upper 90s. They give him a plus changeup and a plus power slider. So he's a guy that really they're hoping in the future is going to be at the top of that rotation. So keep an eye on Sanchez. The two guys that probably I don't know unless some major injuries happen, JJ Belde. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. I'm probably butchering that. But he's still lower down in the system, so I think that they're just keeping him ready to go and getting him reps. Jazz Chisholm, he came over from the Diamondbacks. Really nice shortstop. I think he's more of a future guy as well. Unless there's some injuries or some big COVID stuff, I don't know if I see him coming up. But he's got probably a 50-50 chance of maybe seeing some time. I think the guys that definitely have an opportunity to possibly come up this year, Monte Harrison, he was with the Brewers. He's got a nice power speed combo. He's really good defensively. Kind of the knock on him, he overswings, got a little bit of swing and miss stuff. So if they do end up bringing him up, he's a nice power speed combo to look out for. Jesus Sanchez, who came over from the Rays, he's got a 50 hit tool, 60 power, 50 run. His fielding's 55 and his arm is 55. So he's a guy to watch out for. And then the last guy who I think could be kind of sneaky for them is Lewin Diaz. He had a nice last year from a power standpoint with the team, and he hit 27 home runs, so he's really got some power. In the future, he's a potential middle of the lineup type guy. I don't know if he has a 100% chance, but I think he's in that 75% chance of possibly seeing a little bit of action, especially if they want to get some of these young guys some playing time. All right, let's move on to the Mets. Not a ton of prospects. They have a lot of veteran depth actually on their regular roster. So when you're just talking about who they're adding to the 60-man, there wasn't a ton of prospects. The main person who really isn't going to be an impact back from my perspective, but Andrés Giménez. He's a shortstop. He was at AA last year. Really strong defensively. He's got a great glove, really strong arm, and he's got some nice speed. You know, he could be a guy that hits for pretty solid average, but he's not going to be a power guy. He's definitely a defensive type player that you want at the shortstop position. Obviously, you have Rosario there, so it just depends on what happens throughout the season if you have any injuries or COVID impact. So he has a potential. There is a pitcher on here, Walker Lockett, that has a chance to get a little bit of run this year. He's more of like a hybrid role, so you could see him eating up innings during the middle, mid reliever is what I was trying to get at for Walker Lockett. So keep an eye on those guys. They got a couple lower level pitchers as well, and Kevin Smith, David Peterson, just some guys to have on your radar. Let's move on to the Phillies, and a guy that I let's run down a couple of the guys here. You got Spencer Howard, who's pitcher, Alec Baum. You got Damon Jones, Jojo Romero, Connor Siebold. So those are some of the top guys that are in that top 15 ranking there. I think Spencer Howard has a good chance to possibly get some innings this year. He's got what they're saying. He's got some strong potential. He's got 3 above average pitches. He's got a nice 12-6 curve plus slider. His fastball is plus-plus, so he's someone that could come up and make an impact. Maybe someone who is in the, you know, 8th or 9th on the depth chart right now is what they're saying. But if he gets some injuries or anything comes up, he could get a cup of coffee. The major guy that I've mentioned in previous episodes to definitely keep an eye on is Alec Baum. You know, I think they're saying he's 50-50 chance to come up here. I think it's probably stronger than that, especially if the Phillies are able to make a run. Like I mentioned before, with the DH position, they're probably going to have Jay Bruce in there and roll with him for a little while. But when you think about Jay Bruce, as you know, he has the power, but he's not a high average player. So to get some youth in there and someone that can come in and probably change that lineup a little bit with the same amount of power as Bruce and maybe hit for a little higher average. He's not a great defender, Baum, so I think that was what was holding him back originally. But if you can DH him, he can come up and make an impact. So keep an eye on Baum. I think that he is someone to, especially in fantasy and in the card market, he could come up and hit some home runs and get some attention. So those are some of the main guys in the top 15. You talk about De Los Sanchos, Connor Brogdon, Trevor Kelly, a couple other guys on here. You got Cole Irvin. So these are guys that were some higher prospects before. And it's like I said, a lot of the depth that these teams are putting on there are pitching. So I think it just depends on how the season goes. They're probably going to try and run out arms and keep everybody healthy and strong for a playoff push. Let's move on to the Nationals. With Zimmerman not playing, there's definitely some opportunity in that lineup. It looks like Carter Kieboom is probably going to benefit the most from that. He, of course, is still ranked as a prospect. So you have Carter Kieboom, you have Luis Garcia. They have Justin Rutledge on the 60-man. You're looking at a pitcher in Will Crow and some lower level guys, Tim Cate, Matt Cronin, Seth Romero, Trace Barea. A lot of those players probably don't get a taste this year. They're probably there more or less to just continue their growth and their skill sets. Like I've kind of been saying, the two guys I would keep an eye out for, obviously Carter Kieboom, who he's going to play. I think everybody's aware of him. You know, Luis Garcia is an interesting player. He's only 20 years old. He's more of a contact guy. He has a hit 55, only a power of 45, so he's not really going to be a power guy. He has a run of 50. His fielding is 60 and his arm is 60, so what's really great for him is he definitely could be a plus shortstop with his defensive skills. I don't know if with the team that they have, because I think the Nationals definitely are a playoff and World Series contender, unless something crazy happens. I don't know if they bring him up, but with his defensive acumen, if things start to happen, injuries, COVID, he's a defensive replacement at the very least that you could feel like you could put in and make an impact. So those are the main guys in the NL East currently, just on the 60-man rosters that I've seen that they're gonna that could possibly potentially make an impact. Let's move on to the NL Central. We'll start off with the Cubs. A couple guys that they main guys they have on the 60-man here. They got Brennan Davis, who I absolutely love. I don't think he's gonna make an impact this year, but going forward, he definitely has the potential to be a big time player. Of course, you have Nico Hoerner, who is definitely gonna make an impact this year. Braylon Marquis, Miguel Amaya, and Albert Alize. Those are some of the top tier guys. You do have some other pitchers that and players that were higher up in the rankings but are probably in the 15 to 25 range of prospects. James Norwood, Dylan Maples, Dwayne Underwood. Those guys might be able to get some innings this year from a pitching standpoint. Of course, the two guys that you should hone in on, I don't know if, like I said, I don't think Brennan Davis is going to get any playing time this year. I'm fairly confident in that. But if you're in dynasty leagues, I would definitely think about picking him up or drafting him, trading for him. He's got a hit 50, power 60, run 60, field 50, arm 60. Really great prospect. Do some research on him. I think he's a quality player that has a lot of room to grow, and I think you can do great things. And of course, you got Nico Hoerner. He's really an accomplished hitter in the minors. He's got a power of 50, run of 60. It looks like he's probably going to fill in at second base and be that combo with Javi Baez. I'll be interesting to see, you know, how his year pans out. There's not a lot of hype around him. I mean, people obviously know of him because he's a pretty well-known prospect, and he's going to be up playing this year. So I'll be interesting to see how he does in that lineup. Let's move on to the Reds and some of their top prospects that are added to the 60-man. You got Nick Lodello, Tyler Stevenson, Jose Garcia, Jonathan India, Stuart Fairchild, Tony Statilian, and probably the main guy who they picked up from Japan is Shoki Akiyama. And then you have some other, you know, lower level on the ranking side pitchers who probably have a chance of getting in. One guy, Jose De Leon, who used to be with the Rays, is an interesting player who, if he gets an opportunity, could make an impact. But from those main players that I touched on for the Reds, of course, Shoki Akiyama has a chance now to make a solid impact with the DH. He's a solid defender. He really works the count. He knows how to draw walks. So he's a guy that you could probably count on for some decent stolen bases and a little bit of power as well. But I think that with his defensive acumen, they're going to let him play, especially because they brought him over from from Japan. So keep an eye on Akiyama. Jonathan India is one of those prospects that everyone was really high on, and he's had a couple. He had a year where he really struggled, and he kind of had a decent year last year in Double A. So I think if he can really get his skill set to translate and show what his tools can do on the field, he's a guy that they're saying has plus raw power. His hit tool is 55, run 50, field 60, arm 55. The biggest thing is, can he get his tools to translate on the field with everything that he has? I don't think that he's going to be up this year, but he just needs to work on his swing and miss. He's kind of swinging through stuff, so it'll be interesting to see if he gets a shot or not. I don't think so, but I think he's like 50-50 chance that possibly come up. And then Tyler Stevenson, who's a catcher for them, he's at Double A. He's a nice power guy. I don't know if long-term if he's going to stick at catcher or not, but when you think about some of these rosters, if you can get a player that can play multiple positions, whether it's catcher and then also some outfield positions, there might be more incentive to bring those type of players up that can be in multiple positions. Of course, the DH, and then if you can have a catcher backup as well as he can play the outfield, it gives you a little more incentive there. Let's move on to the Brewers. And some of the three main guys, they were a little late to add some of these guys. You got Corey Ray, Tristan Lutz, Bryce Turang, Zach Brown, Drew Rasmussen. The three main guys that are interesting are, of course, Corey Ray, Tristan Lutz, and Bryce Turang. I think the guy that has the potential to possibly get called up is Corey Ray. He just needs to be more consistent, I think. His hit is 45, power 55, run 60. His field is 55, and his arm is 50. I think between him and Lutz, I think it just depends on what the Brewers want to do if they end up calling somebody up. I'm leaning more towards Ray. And then Bryce Turang, I think he's a little far away. I think he's got a year or two before he's going to be up. So I don't, unless something really crazy happens, I don't know if I see him coming up. Let's move on to the Pirates. You got a couple quality prospects here. You got Mitch Keller as a pitcher. O'Neill Cruz, who's he's a tall, big shortstop who I've talked about on previous shows. Ke'Bryan Hayes, Travis Swaggerty, Jared Avila, Cody Bolton, Ji-Hwan Bae, Max Kranich, and Will Craig. Of these main guys here, who do I see getting an opportunity? I think Mitch Keller will make it to the majors. They're kind of projecting him to maybe possibly be a number three, number four starter in the future. I don't know how much of an impact he can make this year, if you're just going to have him eat up innings, but down the line, he's the number one prospect in their system. So he's definitely someone that they're going to want to continue to have him grow and get some experience at the major league level. Of course, I'm a big fan of O'Neill Cruz. I don't know if they do call him up, but he has a crazy power. I think he's a 50-50 chance guy. And it's going to be interesting to see what teams do. Is if they fall behind and they aren't able to make the playoffs, do they bring some of these guys up to get some major league experience? Or if they're in the hunt, do they bring in some fresh bats to possibly continue to elevate the team? So it's going to be interesting to see how teams play it out. But there's no doubt O'Neill Cruz has massive power. And he's a speed guy. He's his speed is 60. His power is 70. Field 50, arm 50, hit 50. Definitely a guy to keep an eye on. The guy that I think actually really has a great chance to make it to the majors this year is Ke'Bryan Hayes. At this point, he's already a better defender than Colin Moran, who is a starting third baseman for them. I think at some point, with the opportunity of him to be an impact back, they're going to give him a chance. He's a hit 55, power 50, run 55, and then from the fielding side, he's a 70 and an arm 60. So Ke'Bryan Hayes, I think, definitely has an opportunity. I don't think it's 100%, but he's probably in that 75, 80% chance of getting called up this year. Now let's move on to the most important team out there, and that's the St. Louis Cardinals. Well, at least the most important team to me. But we got some nice players that potentially could make an impact this year on the roster that are still technically prospects. Of course, I've talked blue in the face about Dylan Carlson. I don't think I need to go too much into the depth. They do have some quality outfielders. You know, you got Tyler O'Neill and Lane Thomas. But with the DH, you know, you're thinking maybe Matt Carpenter, Brad Miller. It just depends on how things start out. But he's going to play at the major league level this year. So I really like him. If it's Dexter Fowler who struggles, you know, if it's Harrison Bader who maybe struggles or Tyler O'Neill struggles, Carlson is just waiting in the wings, and I think that he's going to get called up. I'm going to run down some of the other guys that they have. We have Andrew Kisner, Genesis Cabrera, Junior Fernandez, Justice Williams, Angel Rodon, Julio Rodriguez, Imando Sosa. So of those guys, who do I really think make an impact? Obviously Carlson. I think Junior Fernandez has a really good chance to be our future closer from a pitcher standpoint. And I know I keep saying our because I'm a Cardinals fan, so I apologize for that. But I think Junior Fernandez has a chance to be the closer for the Cardinals in the future. Genesis Cabrera got a cup of coffee last year, and so did Kisner. So we'll see. Yadi likes to, in his short season, I think Yadi's going to play mostly every day, but you think about the backup there, having him on the roster could potentially make an impact if something happens with Yadi. And one last player that I wanted to mention who's not up in the top 15 of our prospects, but Rangel Rivello. He's a first baseman for us. He was playing last year, and I really like what I saw when he was up and playing. He fits the mold of kind of the DH guy, and if they, with the expanded rosters, if they give Goldschmidt some days off because he had some issues going on with his elbow, and they decide to start him at first, you know, he's going to get a couple ABs, so just keep an eye on him. I don't think he's not really a highly touted prospect or someone that I'm investing in fantasy or, you know, card-wise. I just think he's an interesting name, and you can see what potentially could happen with him. All right, let's move on to the NL West. We're going to start off with the Diamondbacks. They have quite a few young players that they're bringing along on this 60-man. A lot of these guys I don't think are going to get any time this year, but there are a few that I noted. So Dalton Vasharo, Corbin Carroll, Alec Thomas, Seth Beer, John Dopletier, I butchered that, Levi Kelly, Luis Frias, Geraldo Perdomo is a guy that I really like as a shortstop for the future for them, JB Bastakas, Taylor Widener, and Corbin Martin. So they have almost all their, you know, top 15 guys, a lot of them in here. Who's going to possibly make an impact at the major league level this year? Dalton Vasaro is, in Baseball America, is their number one prospect. And it goes to what I was talking about with versatility with Tyler Stevenson earlier. I don't know if they see Vasaro being a catcher full-time, and I think that he has the possibility of becoming an outfielder in the future. But you think about what he did last year. He hit .301 at AA with 21 stolen bases and 18 home runs. And for a catcher to have some speed like that, he's an interesting guy. And if he has the versatility to be able to play in the outfield with a power-speed combo, he's got a mature approach. His hit tool is 55, power 50, run 55, field 50, and arm 45. I think that they do have Carson Kelly at catcher right now, and they do have a pretty stacked outfield at the current moment, but you think about having a guy in the roster that has the versatility to play multiple positions, especially the catcher position, he could make an impact if he gets called up. So keep an eye on him. I've talked about Seth Beer in the past, about being a quality DH guy. He really fits that role. It looks like at the moment they're going to run out Jake Lamb as a DH, and that kind of hurts Seth Beer because he's not a type of guy that they have a position for him to play, and there's no real reason to roster him if Jake Lamb is playing well and they have a couple other guys there on the roster that they like that they can filter in. So I don't know at the end of the day if they do call him up, but if things go sideways or the wrong way with Lamb or any other guys that get COVID or injured, Seth Beer could be an interesting guy that they call up. So keep an eye on those two players for the Diamondbacks from a hitting standpoint. Let's move on to the Rockies. And of course, they don't have Ian Desmond. He is not going to be playing this year. There's a couple main guys that are going to benefit from that. Let me run down who they're keeping on the 60-man of those important 15, kind of top 15 prospects. You got Brendan Rodgers, Ryan Rolison, Sam Hilliard, Ben Bowden, Ryan Castellini, and Jonathan Diaz. So of those top guys, I think Brendan Rodgers and Sam Hilliard are going to get the most run. Of course, Rodgers is going to fill in at that second base position and be that combo with Trevor Story in the middle of the field. You also have Garrett Hampson, so it's going to be interesting to see how they play those guys, because Hampson's a speed type player. But, you know, with Rodgers being the number one prospect in the system, if he comes out of the gate and plays hot, I definitely see him getting the time that he deserves. With no Desmond in the outfield, what does that mean? I've talked about Sam Hilliard's potential. He's a nice power speed guy. I think if he does get some playing time, you look at guys like David Dahl, who I'm a huge fan of. I have him on my fantasy team, but he is injury prone. If something comes up, he goes down, you're trying to fill spots. I think Hilliard is that perfect guy to be able to fill in the outfield and can really provide some potential from a fantasy standpoint. And his cards are really cheap. I have a couple rookies of Hilliard's that I have cheap. I know it's still in Colorado, and that kind of downplays some of what the players do there. But I think if he can get hot and really show what he's about this year, he could be a guy that gets on people's radar. So look out for those guys on the Rockies. Let's move to the Dodgers. And, man, you think about this team, how stacked they are at the major league level. I look at some of these players that they have prospect-wise that are going to be up this year, and then also kind of what they have below it, you know, some of their top 15 guys. They have a lot of depth in this organization. So, of course, you have Gavin Lux, Dustin May, who are going to be up playing this year. You have Kerbert Ruiz, Josiah Gray, Tony Gosselin, Diego Cartea, DJ Peters, Mitchell White, Omar Estevez, and Dennis Santana. And then a guy that I've talked about previously that is right on that tier of the top 15 is an Edwin Diaz. The main guys out of this that I think have some big potential as far as bats go that can make an impact. You look at Kerbert Ruiz, and this goes to like the catching. I think teams might be more prone to bring up, you know, additional catchers for rest days, because they are going to have these long schedules where they're playing every day. You know, Ruiz is a plus hitter and he's a switch hitter. He's one of those guys that they probably project to be hit, you know, 12, 15 home runs. He's got a 60 hit tool, 45 power, his runs at 40, field at 55, and arm at 50. So obviously they have Will Smith, and it's be interesting. I think Will Smith really has a strong hold on that role there, but it's always good to keep an eye on some of those top catchers that are basically major league ready. The second two guys that I wanted to talk about, one, Edwin Rios, who I think really just fits well in that either first base or DH position role. He hit 31 home runs at AAA last year. He had four home runs and got pretty hot. I think he hit like 277 during his call-up last year with the majors. I think that if he gets an opportunity, he's definitely an impact bat in a lineup. And someone right below him, DJ Peters, who's extremely interesting. He's a big boy, 6'6". Some scouts are saying that he has 80 raw power as a tool. He can play all three of the outfield positions. And he hit 23 home runs between AA and AAA last year. And it's looking like he's... And the Dodgers like to rotate guys in. You know, it's interesting. And I think it hinders some of the players possibly to see what they could do with, you know, 550 ABs at some point, 600 ABs during a normal season. But with this year, I'm sure they're going to be rotating some players in just to keep everybody fresh. And if DJ Peters comes up and, you know, he plays a couple games and goes off and hits a couple home runs and they have to leave him in the lineup, he's an interesting guy. One thing with him, though, he's like I said, he's 6'6", so he has roll long arms and he tends to swing through pitches and kind of has a higher strikeout rate, but the power is there. So it just depends. It'll be interesting to see if he gets an opportunity this year. All right, the last two teams here, we'll talk about the Padres, and they have a lot of pitchers that I think could make an impact for them this year. And I think that that's great for the team because they have a lot of offensive potential with Tatis and Machado and a lot of those other young guys that they have in their lineup. But you think about Mackenzie Gore coming up, I think that they have to call him up this year and give him a run. He is just filthy. The other guys that they have on the 60-man, CJ Abrams, he's a little while away. Luis Patino, Taylor Trammell, Luis Campusano, Adrian Morgan, I'm probably butchering some of these names, Michael Baez, Ryan Weathers, Edward Olivares, Ronald Bolaños, and Gabriel Arias. I think, you know, aside from the pitching, which I think you look at guys like Michael Baez, Mackenzie Gore, Adrian Morjon, I think all those guys could be called up this year and make a big impact in the major league level. If you're talking about a position player, I think Taylor Trammell has the best chance. He's a guy that came over from the Reds, and if you follow futures games, at one point he was a futures games MVP. I really like, he's very athletic, he's a plus runner, really patient hitter. He's probably going to line up in left field. I don't know if he's a center fielder long term, but he's got a hit tool of 55, power 50, run 60, field 50, arm 40. So keep an eye on Taylor Trammell. I think if he gets called up, he could be a sneaky speed guy and someone to watch out for. The last team on the docket today is the Giants. Of course, you don't have Buster Posey anymore, which is sad. I'd love to see Buster playing this year. But he is opting out due to just adopting two twins, I believe, is what he has going on. But some of the top guys for the Giants they have up on the 16, you got Joey Bart, Marco Luciano, Gila Ramos, Logan Webb, and Mauricio Dubon. I think Dubon has the biggest opportunity here from a bat stance. Joey Bart might get an opportunity. What they're saying is that they're not saying that they're calling him up right now or anything like that. They're going to probably let some of the veteran guys run that. But he's a huge bat. And if they have an opportunity to make a push or they are a team that gets sneaky, I don't foresee it. I don't think the Giants are a team that are really on my radar to make a big run. But if they do, if they get hot, I don't know why you wouldn't bring Bart up. His bat is major league ready. But you talk about Dubon, who Probably he's going to be playing. I think he's going to be their second baseman this year. He's got a hit 55 tool, power 40, run 55, field 55, and arm of 55. So he's definitely going to get a run. I think fantasy-wise, he's just another guy. I don't think he has a huge impact there. Or the card market, I don't think he has a big impact there. So I hope this was useful, guys. I wanted to just give some insight into some of the guys that are on the 60-man rosters that are prospects and who could potentially make get a cup of coffee this year and make an impact. And I keep saying this when you're talking about the card market, and it's really interesting to me, is I keep thinking about update. And this is, if some of these guys get a debut and you get some of these top-tier pitchers or some of these young players to get an update for their first rookie cards, you could have a very nice update this year. And it's all circumstantial. It just depends on how things play out. But I think I keep saying it because I just want people to keep that in the back of their mind if you start seeing guys get called up and what that could mean for the card market. When you're talking about fantasy, it's going to be a tough year for fantasy. I mean, I've had some guys already. I had in my Dynasty League, I had Ian Desmond and Buster Posey on my team. So to lose at-bats like that from those type of guys, that really hurts. Of course, we play in a NL-only league. So with the announcement of the DH, that has helped some of my bench players that I've had. And I think that they could make I can put some filler guys in. But it you know, when you're playing in a league and you're relying on some of these top tier guys for them to take a year off, obviously you can't blame them because it's just fantasy sports is what we're talking about. But that can hurt your team and put you in a position where it makes it a tougher season. But I hope everyone enjoyed. Like I said, please subscribe. Give me some great feedback. I'm planning on doing the American League as well. I am super busy with the move. I'm also applying for jobs and things of that nature. So a lot of things going on in my personal life. But I always enjoy having time for you guys and to put out some great content. So go follow me on the social media channels. Let's have a great weekend. Let's have a great week upcoming. Baseball is almost here, and I will chat with you guys soon. Thanks so much.